This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, folks. I hope most of you fared well. I wish everyone would have fared well. Obviously, that is not the case. And we'll talk a little bit about that today during the show. I wanted to correct an announcement because of last night's weather that I made on Tuesday. The visitation for Jim Bernazzani, who passed away on Sunday, March 24th, 2024, you will recall he was the special agent in charge of the New Orleans field office for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The visitation and the funeral was supposed to be last evening. Unfortunately, that had to be canceled as a result of the weather, and it has now been moved to Friday, April 12th. That's this Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. at Lake Lawn Metairie Funeral Home. They'll have visitation followed by a funeral service at 8 p.m. We've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to talk to Thomas Ecker, president of the Mid-City Neighborhood Organization, at 12:30. About what's going on relative to the security guard, Dariel King, who was fatally shot at Wits End Bar, and what's actually happening there, and is there enough happening there, and what are we doing from a city administration? The other day, the mayor issued a statement saying all's clear with Wits End, but not so fast. We'll talk about some troubling statistics. Coming out in the 12 o'clock hour, Arthur Sterbka, local real estate analyst, participated the other day, National Association of Realtors, and he will talk about, the state of the housing market in New Orleans area. We'll talk about what we're seeing in trends and pricings and analysis across the country as well. Lionel Merthel joins us, special agent in charge of the New Orleans FBI field office. He is the newly appointed special agent in charge. We'll talk about him coming to our great city of New Orleans and what he hopes to do with his new assignment here in the city. Scott Walker joins us in coming out in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk about the flooding, the high canals. We'll talk about the struggles of yesterday, what they presented for us, and the after action as they begin to look at what ultimately happened. And we'll do the same with the mayor from Slidell, Greg Cromer, who will join us at 10:30 this morning. Slidell, unfortunately, looks like they had a really serious tornado hit, a lot of tornadic activity. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the after action as to what he is seeing this morning and how that's going for those residents in that area as well. Yesterday, I talked about the situation in the Middle East with the what's going on with Israel and Hamas as kind of the sovereign authority, not kind of, they say they are the sovereign authority of Gaza. And I talked a little bit about this notion of proof of life relative to hostages a couple of weeks ago, that it would seem to me that we were at a critical juncture that we should demand proof of life or no longer talk to Hamas, to those people that they took as hostages and whether or not they are living, fully identify those individuals, and give us the evidence of proof of life. Well, there was a statement the other day made by Hamas, and there's been a number of articles, and one that was posted this morning by Noah Rothman that is so right on point, it's scary. The fact of the matter is that this has all been a game, in his words. And they have played the United States. We have sold to the public that there's a two-state solution on the horizon, that we ought to be able to get there. And President Biden has exhibited exasperation, frustration, and sometimes even anger directed at the Israelis, all the while holding out that there was the possibility of us having these hostages returned. Now, there's angst, there's anxiety, as they begin to uncouple a lot of the evidence that they have, and it's creating serious doubt and raising fears that more hostages might be dead. In fact, the New York Times reported on that, I believe, just yesterday. So it's shifting. It's changing. None of our demands have been met by Hamas. The only demands that we've really publicly announced are those that this administration tried to place on Israel. Why? They want to placate their far left that's out there browbeating them each and every day. It's worried about re-election, plain and simple. He's not worried about the long-standing relationship that we've had with the state of Israel and the Israelis and what they have provided for us in critical human action intelligence over and over and over again, protecting our homeland as being out there on the front in the midst of it. Not at all. And in fact, this frustration that he has exhibited towards Israel is really telling. So as Noah Rothman pointed out in his article today, that was posted about an hour ago, is where is this frustration? Where is this anger? Where are any public statements about Hamas and about this game that they've been playing? And as Noah points out, he says they've strung the United States and its allies along by promulgating the faulty impression that they actually had valuable chips to play in Doha and Cairo. That's where they're having these peace talks. It looks like, he says, a stall tactic, and it worked like a charm. The targets of that ploy, he goes on to say, is the president among them. So why don't we see any righteous fury from this administration? It doesn't mean you have to go over the top. It doesn't mean a whole lot of things. But it does mean you should be calling out the obvious of what's going on here. I first mentioned proof of life within a week of what actually went on in Gaza, that would be the first milestone that they should reach as it relates to those hostages. And certainly, most importantly, after the first release of the hostages, is that there would be no longer any further consideration or any actions by the Israelis to benefit the Palestinians or Hamas or otherwise in Gaza unless and until there was proof of life. And if they wanted a ceasefire, the ceasefire would be based upon their ability to deliver proof of life of these hostages. We're negotiating in the dark. It's absolutely crazy. And now it seems as though it may have come home to roost. We ask this question all the time. You've heard me say it over and over again. What do we fear? What do we fear by certain things happening? You've heard me say it about our own state legislature. You've heard me say it about the new administration in Baton Rouge. You'd heard me say it about the administration here, the Cantrell administration, as to a number of things. I've said it about the city council. I've said it about a lot of things. What is it that you fear? Well, we know what this administration fears, right? We've seen it over and over again. And Noah Rothman points it out spot on. And it could be that this administration is simply scared, not just for their own reelection prospects, tenuous though they may be, he says, but of what acknowledging Hamas's actions obliges him to do. That diagnosis, he says, would make sense. His administration has been plagued by fear. The fear of Russian escalation if they gave Ukraine the tools to win its war rather than not simply not lose. Think about this for a moment. One of the restrictions is that the Ukrainians could not go into Russia, could not bomb Russian assets on Russian territory. They only had to fight a they were only allowed to fight a defensive war. Does it sound like that might be one hand tied behind your back? It does to me. If we're going to go through the process of financing and everything else and the debate and all, back and forth and all, why would we not give them the authority to do what they need to do? How do they win with a strategy of only fighting a defensive war? Or the fear of what the Taliban would do if they blew through a self-set deadline to withdraw American forces from Afghanistan, fearing of having to restore stability to a region rocked by Iranian-backed terrorist attacks on Americans and their allies. How many times have we talked about that? What did they fear? What was the rush? Why was it not more strategic? Former military officials are now very critical of the Biden administration and the manner in which this was handled. And contrary to their best advice, the State Department got to overrule. And look what happened. Nothing pretty. He goes on to say that the White House projects weakness and intimidation, a posture that encourages our adversaries, Americans' enemies, that do not understand where Biden's lines are, and they will keep testing him until they find one. This must be it. And Noah Rothman's right. That's exactly what it is in the Middle East right now. He will not exhibit anger. He will not exhibit frustration. He will not call out Hamas for what they are and where we are, and still tries to sell this notion that there's a two-state solution and that we will be able to reach some conclusion in Cairo. Meanwhile, Bibi Netanyahu says, we're going to Rafah. And every day this administration is saying that's not a good idea. And Netanyahu responds by saying the date has been set. We're going to Rafah. And now there's even more concern because the adult children of the leader of Hamas have been killed. Now the stakes are high, and we're all waiting to see if we have a credible leader in the White House. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I've pointed out several times over the probably last 10 days about being encouraged by university officials taking the necessary actions against those that are protesting against Israel on their respective campuses, disrupting what's going on in these campuses, engaging in criminal behavior, destroying property, committing battery on fellow students, and the like. Some have been expelled, some have been suspended, some have been put on probation, and many of whom have been arrested, which is the appropriate action to take. Unfortunately, not all universities are taking that same track. Harvard University is one of those that wants to walk to the beat of a different drum. They want all of this to go away. They don't want to hold anybody accountable. I asked the question, just as though I did in the previous segment, what do they fear? Well, you know what they fear. They fear a recalcitrant student body that's going to begin protesting against them if they hold any of these people accountable. In fact, at an October 18th die-in demonstration, which was designed to signal opposition to Israel's retaliatory strikes against Hamas after the October 7th terrorist attack, multiple protesters surrounded an Israeli first-year business student, grabbing him, pushing him, yelling at him, not allowing him to proceed in a safe manner across this campus, acting in an atrocious way towards a student. So as a result of that, Harvard engages a law firm to conduct an independent investigation of the incident. That is telling, right? Anytime you engage a law firm to conduct an independent investigation of a criminal act, you know that you are now in the midst of a dilatory tactic. You want to get beyond this from a public relations standpoint. We've taken action. We've got the greatest law firm in the history of the United States investigating a battery. A battery. Why not call the local police department? That would seem to make more sense, right? Isn't that what people do? When one person batters another individual, you call the police department? Do you call a law firm to conduct an independent? I guess the police are not independent. The independent investigation of the incident. Well, unfortunate for them, there was a call to the police, and they ended up getting involved. And one of the assailants, this is, you can't make this up. One of the assailants is a Harvard Divinity School graduate student. And actually, this individual is going to graduate in May. And as luck would have it, you know, I'm sure you believe in coincidences like I do, right? That on March the 25th, the victims of this was notified by the court that the criminal case had been postponed to May 7th. After the graduation of this Harvard Divinity School graduate student, so then I guess he could, you know, be the beneficiary of saying he is an alumnus of Harvard. Well, this is not sitting well with congressional representatives, Elise Stefanik being one, Republican from New York, saying, whoa, 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 whoa. So we engage in a dilatory tactic. We get him to his graduation. He can claim this sacred Harvard alumni status. And meanwhile, y'all are still messing with the Israeli student? No. We'll see where this ends up. We'll let you know. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The severe weather event yesterday continues the revelations about the damage that has been done as a result thereof continues to reveal itself through the evening last evening and again this morning. And here to talk to us about it is Mayor Greg Cromer for the city of Slidell. Greg, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell. How are you today?
Good. I understand the Weather Service said yesterday evening that it looks consistent with at least an EF1 tornado that touched down in South Slidell, causing a lot of mayhem and damage. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I don't know how to qualify these things, but I can tell you what, that some of the damage that I've seen was very reminiscent of the Hurricane Katrina winds that were 145-mile-an-hour winds and things that did to pine trees and stuff around here. We've still got about 15 or 20 streets that are completely blocked, 23,000 residents in the city limits without power. CLECO did all of their damage assessment and put back together on the west side of the parish yesterday. So they moved in this morning with 400 troops to complete their assessment here and to start helping us with the debris removal and getting the grid put back together and heated up. With the 15 or 20 streets that we got that are still blocked are because we can't remove the trees because they're tangled up in wires. And if we go in and start messing with taking out the stuff, we're allowed to create more damage to the grid. So we have to wait till they come in and get their power lines out of the way and secure them so that we don't do more damage and take longer to put the electricity back together. Other than that, we've got our relief efforts started here at Fritchie Park Gym. We've got hot meals are being served now and will be served again this evening at 5 o'clock. We've got water. We've got tarpaulins we should have a half a reefer of ice coming in at about noon and start distribution for ice. We've got the Convoy of Hope coming in this afternoon, somewhere between 2 and 4. They'll be setting up a distribution relief site at over on Lindbergh Drive at the Park and Ride facility on Lindbergh Drive here in Slidell. So we've got a lot of support coming in from around the country, as well as local churches that have stepped up. And I'm standing here looking at friends and relatives or neighbors that are working side by side with firemen on the distribution line, putting water in tarpaulins in folks' cars as they drive through the distribution side of the line. So it's just a small part of the emergency ops plan that we put together. You know, and we've experienced this before through our hurricanes, Katrina and Ida and what have you. We've got a great plan. We've got a great team. The first responders come together with their chainsaws. City of Slidell crews come in with the heavy equipment, and as the fire department cuts it, our guys move it, and the police department's blocking traffic for us to be able to do what we need to do the whole time. So it's just a huge effort on behalf of all of Team Slidell and our citizens who actually step up and help their neighbors and help, as I say, standing here as cars drive through this relief line, putting supplies in people's cars so they don't even have to get out. We just keep them moving through.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the way that our community comes together post event like this. Greg, I know it's still early on, said any idea how many families are impacted?
That's a good question, Newell. We got two apartment complexes that we know of that probably are, one of them for sure will not, it's not livable. The other one, parts of it are not going to be livable. We know of about 60 residents in one of them that are being displaced. And I've just got word from the owner of the apartment a minute ago. He's going to be real fair with those folks and help them out with some stuff, which it's just a testament to the people in our community. The other complex, I haven't talked to the owner of that complex yet. I don't know how many people are displaced there. We've got somewhere between 75 and 100 homes that have pretty significant damage to them and may or may not be livable for a short period of time, some of them for a long period of time. I talked with our GOSEP folks a minute ago, and they were pretty certain there was at least 50 folks that were displaced without a place to live or stay for the long haul.
Mayor, I had a former deputy that worked for me send me a video yesterday, and we've stood side by side during pretty much every hurricane over the last 40 years. And he says to me in a text, he says, you know, Sheriff, you know me. I don't panic, but I got to tell you, this storm whipped our butts. And he sent me a video, and I mean, it was unbelievable.
It was pretty terrifying. You know, I've had people tell me that they didn't hear the roar that you relate to a tornado. All they heard was a heavy wind, and then another store over here that had a wall blow out due to the pressure change when the tornado comes across, blew out a wall, and they heard a loud boom. You know, so. I just can't imagine being stuck in that and having that going on around me. I rode Katrina out up here with the city crews and the city barn, and I was never afraid, never concerned that we were not going to survive or we were going to have any personal damage or personal injuries. But if I had been in my home and this hit me, I don't know where we'd be. It'd be very terrifying.
Obviously, a number of power outages throughout your area. What are you hearing from the utility provider?
We met with I met with my whole team this morning, our relief team and all of Team Slidell. We meet at 7:30 a.m. every morning when we start these events and plan the day's events. We had Clico on the line this morning. And as I said, he's got 400 men and ladies that hit the ground in East St. Tammany over here this afternoon or this morning. They are expecting to have their assessment completed probably by 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon of everything. And at that point, they'll know better how to assign their resources to do the debris removal and getting the lines put back together, whether or not they've got to put new poles up here and there, or whether they can stand up existing poles and hang that infrastructure back up. And as they do that, one grid or block at a time, if you will, they can start to heat up that grid as they know it's safe. I know last night I got power back in my area in Old Town. I saw the guy in the neighborhood checking transformers and what have you about 7 o'clock, and he said it'd be another 2 or 3 hours, but everything should come up. And about 10:30, the whole neighborhood heated up. So we didn't really have any damage in our block in our neighborhood there in Old Town that was perceptible. But you had to check every pole to check the fuses and the transformers to ensure there'd been no damage in them, and that's what they were going around and doing before they released electricity back into that part of the grid. And when it's all safe, then they turn it back on. They're telling us that some of these properties may be not getting power back until sometime this weekend or Monday. But for the most part, they're expecting to have a lot of folks heated up after this afternoon, and they'll work through the night tonight. And tomorrow, sometime tomorrow, we should have a good number of those. They won't give me an estimate of how many, but in the parish altogether, there's about 30,000 that are without power. In the city limits alone, we've got just over 23,000 that are without power.
Greg, I tried to read as many news stories as possible, and I didn't see really any significant reporting on injuries or any deaths. Where do we stand there?
Very, very fortunate. No, we had very few minor injuries, cuts, scrapes, bruises, things of that nature.
That's
one
a miracle.
One gentleman that was in a house that collapsed had a head injury that did have to go to the hospital, but I don't think they kept him. I think he was released. So I've not heard of any major injuries in that. And we've been embedded. We got fire and EMS embedded with us in the morning meeting this morning. Acadian ambulance and our firefighters, our first responders, police department. We all met, and that was the question. Any significant damage or injuries that we were not aware of, and there was none reported. Yes, sir. It truly is a miracle when you see some of the buildings that we have over here and realize that people were actually in these buildings whenever this came through.
Yeah, in fact, I'm getting a number of texts here, people asking if you know if the brown switch, I'm not sure where that switch is, but whether or not that's going to be up soon.
Brown Switch Road
and,
area.
Brown
Switch Road area. I got a call in with WST to find out where they stand. I know they had some major issues on the grid on that northeast side of Slidell, in that Brown Switch area is outside the city limits. But whenever they're able to get everything right around the transfer station they have on the east side of Slidell up and running, then they'll be able to put power back in there. But that's their big problem right now. Last call I had with them late last night was that they still had another dozen or so poles that they were really having problems getting to be able to get them up and running. So I would expect WST will probably have that area, from what I'm hearing, up and heated up, hopefully late today. But I'm making no promises. It's just an assumption based on the conversations I've had.
Greg, I guess it's safe to say some areas were hit harder than others, but it seems to me, as I was reading through a number of the reports, is that this is the damage is pretty wide-ranging, right, throughout the whole Slidell area, greater Slidell area.
The tornado seemed to have come out of off the lake and hit on the south west or south central portion of Slidell and skipped all the way across to the northeast side of Slidell and into the parish there. And I had one individual told me that he heard it, saw it, looked out his window, and he said it would come down, a cloud, debris cloud, whatever, would come down to about treetop level, and then it bounced back up, and then he watched it and went on through the neighborhood, and it'd come down again. Where there was any significant drag or trees, he said it seemed to bounce off of that. It's looking for flat land to get down to and create that suction that holds it to the ground, and it wasn't finding that, I guess. But we have pockets across the city that have very, very significant damage, and then just other areas that have minor damages and a little bit of debris around that are associated with some straight line winds that we had that were kicking up around 60, 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, that video that my friend sent me, that's what it looked like to me, about 70, 80 mile an hour winds. I mean, the rain was going sideways, and so was all the debris, obviously.
Yes, sir.
Please know if there's any information that you need to get out in the next couple of days for sure, or whatever, whenever. We stand ready to do that on your behalf, and we wish you the best and all the residents of your great city, as well as St. Tammany Parish, the best as well. They're in our thoughts. They're in our prayers.
Thank you so much, Neil. We greatly appreciate the support and helping us get information out to people.
Thank you, sir. I know you got a lot of hard working days ahead of you. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, sir. Good day.
All righty, folks. That's the mayor of the city of Slidell, Greg Cromer. We will be right back after the break. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. I wanted to just talk a few minutes again about Tommy Tucker's interview with Jason Williams, the district attorney, and Aaron Greenstone from Bancroft, which is a third-party vendor to the DA's office. And I wanted to make sure that I made this point. I am glad that the DA has embarked upon this endeavor. Any tool that they can bring to the forefront to help provide additional street-level intelligence information, whether that is through the social network analyses that they're conducting, that's, you know, open source intelligence that's out there. There's no right to privacy or anything like that. Thankfully, folks that commit crime are knuckleheads. They're stupid. One thing we know for sure, they'll probably do something else again. And they get on these social media sites and brag and boast about what they have done, what they're about to do. You can put a lot of relationships together. You get a lot of folks taking multiple pictures together in a celebratory fashion about their criminal behavior. And I am completely encouraged that we're going down this path. I hope they make that program as robust as possible. I hope they include the NOPD at some point in time, because the earlier onset in the course of an investigation where you have access to this information, the better off you are, quite frankly, whether you find inculpatory evidence or exculpatory evidence. Because if you find exculpatory evidence and you're on a path thinking that a particular individual may be responsible, the sooner you know that they are not, you can shift those resources to trying to find out who is. Save a lot of time, a lot of money. You don't want to get the wrong guy. And you never try to move the needle one way or another from an evidentiary standpoint to try and have it that be that one individual. And as I used to tell my officers, you're in the credibility business. You're not in the law enforcement business. So you never do anything to compromise your credibility, because without it, you're of no value to me. And you can rest assured and go bed at night with a certain degree of certainty that most of the individuals that you're looking at that you think are responsible, that ultimately may not be, and that's okay, they got to do it again. And we'll get them the next time. And, you know, so just be patient. Because they're coming down that river of crime more often than not again. When you look at the recidivism rate, when you look at the reoffend rate, you can say with high confidence that that's almost as good a bet as Secretariat. So just be patient. But it is good that we're thinking out of the box. You know, I remember, and I brought it up in my crosstalk with Tommy, that it wasn't very long ago, about 10 years ago, where Palantir was just totally ripped up and beat up and this and that about predictive policing and what are we doing and how is this working and yada, yada, yada. And the social activists went off the rails and, about this issue. Everything that Jason Williams and Aaron Greenstone talked about this morning were all the building blocks of Palantir. The NOPD is engaged upon more traffic enforcement. Why? You put people in places. You document these things, whether it be the issuance of a ticket. Instead of the issuance of a ticket, it may be you fill out a field interview card, a FIC. You counsel and release people, but you document the interaction. All of that data pulled together puts together a dossier of people, places, and things. And hopefully that leads to a successful arrest, and more importantly, a successful prosecution. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.